This is season 2, episode 16, Connecting Youth with the Outdoors with Dave Herpy. Welcome to Let's Talk Parks. This is a collaborative project that gives a voice to emerging leaders in parks and recreation.
We believe every professional has the potential to make a difference in their organization and in their communities.
These are the stories of the future leaders who are navigating their career and finding their purpose through Parks and Rec. Hello, hello. Welcome back to Let's Talk Parks. Thanks for listening in to another episode. Today we're talking about connecting youth to the outdoors. And I don't know about you, but I could definitely use more outside time, less screen time, and just a fresh breath of air. And actually, I'm going to the beach this weekend, so I'm very excited to get out and see new things, see people, of course, socially distanced, but nevertheless, it's good to get out. This week, you probably saw that I put numbers, the episode numbers, in front of every episode, mostly because I realized that I had lost count in the first season, and so I actually had numbers, they were all messed up. Anyway, interesting fact, this is now the 45th total episode, which is kind of crazy, coming up on number 50, which is seems like a pretty big deal. So there's that. The other big deal is that I think within the next couple of weeks, we're going to reach 10,000 listens on the podcast. And I want to throw a party. So if you guys can all come to that party, that'd be great. It'll probably be next year by the time we can all get together. But regardless, you're all invited. So that's fun. And then the other thing is that there's been a couple new submissions to the podcast form. And I just want to remind you that we are still open to hearing your stories. And we would love to hear what kind of cool things you're doing in your community. I think we're kind of caught up on a lot of our interviews. For a while there, we were months out. And, you know, we want to make sure that we can hear from you and that things are timely and that we can get it out. For instance, this episode was recorded back in June, I believe, but because of all of the different people that we've had on and we were trying to rotate between the three co-hosts, it can be kind of hard to put, you know, to fit everybody in and to try to, you know, talk about different subjects. And so, yeah, anyways, all that to say, if you are interested in submitting a podcast topic, you can just go to letstalkparks.com/podcast and submit your application there. We're calling it an application. It's very official. Yes, indeed. All right. Well, I think that's enough for me. If you're not already, head on over to the mailing list if you'd like to get this in your inbox every Thursday morning, which may turn into afternoon, kind of just depends. Testing out a couple different things here. And other than that, you guys, hope you enjoy this episode with Dave Herpy, who is talking to us about connecting youth to the outdoors. And Dave is actually the North Carolina camping specialist. The 4-H camping specialist and adjunct lecturer of Parks, Recreation, and Tourism Management at North Carolina State University, as well as a freelance writer. He has over 23 years of experience with camps as a camp counselor, camp director, and a camping specialist. His greatest adventure in life is being a father of four and sharing his passion for camp with his own children. He can be reached via email at djherpy@ncsu.edu, or you can follow him at his blog, explorenc.travel.blog. Thanks, everybody, and hope you enjoy this episode. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Let's Talk Parks. Thanks for joining us today. I've got another great interview for you. Today, we are talking to Dave Herpe. He is the North Carolina 4-H Camping Specialist at North Carolina State University. Thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thanks for the invitation and thanks for the opportunity, Becky.
Yeah, of course. So today we're going to be talking about getting youth outdoors and the importance of that. And, you know, one of the things that I always love to hear first of all, though, is how you got into Parks and Recreation. So what's your story? What is your role now? And then how did you get from there to here?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll start by saying that my love for the great outdoors began with my first camping trip at the age of 3. And I used to visit various state parks and national parks with my family growing up. Those were our summer family vacations along the East Coast. And so that's really where my love for the great outdoors began, and then continued as a Cub Scout and Boy Scout growing up. When I graduated high school, I had an opportunity to become a camp counselor that summer after high school graduation at my local YMCA. And originally, I wanted to be a music teacher was going to be studying music education. And that's the reason I chose to become a camp counselor. And long story short, decided not to go off to a major university my freshman year of college. I stayed home and attended my local community college and continued working at the YMCA part-time over those 2 years. And it was really during those 2 years of working at my local YMCA that I fell in love with the field of recreation and saw the difference that we were making in with families and in our local community. And so that's what really inspired me to decide to study recreation in college. So I went away, I transferred to Kent State University in Northeast Ohio my junior year, and they had opened a brand new $25 million student recreation and wellness center and had the opportunity to continue my employment there during my junior and senior year of college, of undergraduate. Decided to pursue graduate school right away. And so I went off to Ohio University was able to secure a graduate teaching assistantship with their recreation studies program, and chose Ohio University because it's a very strong outdoor recreation program. And so so that's kind of my story of how, you know, my experiences and my educational background. I started out in municipal parks and recreation early in my career, the first few years. I began as the adventure recreation supervisor with Columbus Recreation and Parks on Columbus, Ohio, a very large parks and recreation department, as their adventure recreation supervisor. I was in that role for a year and a half, and then a family situation happened, and lost my mom to cancer, decided to move back home. There's an opportunity at my local park district that I grew up in Northeast Ohio, Lake Metro Parks. And so I interviewed for that position actually the day after my mom's funeral, and moved home for a couple years. I was there in that role for 2 years, and then had an opportunity to come back to Kent State full time as the adventure recreation, as the outdoor adventure coordinator there. And that's where actually I did my internship with the Kent State Adventure Center. And so had an opportunity to come back. Was in that role for almost 7 years before coming here to North Carolina, which was my family's dream to be here eventually someday. Visited North Carolina quite a bit for vacation, going to the beach, those sorts of things. So I've been in this role now for 6.5 years with North Carolina State University. And all throughout the last 23 years of being a camp counselor and camp director, the one consistent thing between municipal parks and rec and being in a higher education for the last 13.5 years has been camps, working with youth. So that's really been my passion, to be able to, you know, share the experiences I had as a child growing up with the great outdoors, and being able to share that passion and connect the youth of today with the great outdoors as well.
Wow, that's such a great introduction. And I love how it almost seems like your life and your work has really come full circle and has maintained that theme of working with kids and being outdoors. And I also love what you said about working in different types of government and different organizations, because, you know, the path to get to your current role took a lot of different turns and life events too. And it's always so interesting to hear other people's paths. So thanks for sharing that.
Oh, thank you. Absolutely.
So I know one of the things that you were just talking about is your passion for connecting youth to the outdoors. And the listeners of this show, they're probably already in Parks and Recreation. They know that there's benefits to connecting youth to the outdoors. But remind us, and even for all of us who are kind of maybe stuck inside too much these days, what are the benefits of connecting ourselves to the outdoors and youth to the outdoors? And then how do you feel like this connects to our future conservation efforts?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, really the youth are our future. And I think that's really important that, you know, we provide opportunities and experiences for our youth today. And so, again, that's been a passion of mine, is to be able to provide opportunities to connect youth. There's many studies out there. If you just Google, youth connection with the outdoors and conservation or stewardship is another term that's used in a lot of studies, whether it be the American Camp Association that has a research component to their work and their priorities. In various nonprofit, outdoor-based organizations, nonprofit organizations, youth and connecting youth to the outdoors is it's important. And there's research out there that shows that youth that have a connection to the outdoors at a young age, as a child, really helps in the future with those youth when they become adults being future stewards of our environment. They have a better appreciation of nature and of conservation, recycling, taking care of our local parks, that sort of thing. So really, again, having that connection at a young age, youth understand as adults that importance and that connection.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And, you know, right now I have a eight-month-old little boy, and I like all that I'm doing to get outside is just to, you know, put him on a blanket and let him crawl around. And I'm thinking, like, what kind of activities am I going to do later on so that he can really instill a love for nature and therefore care about it? Can you talk to us about some of the ways that either people who have kids at home can help, you know, connect them to nature, or maybe if we're still able to run programs, how we can do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, same with me. I'm a father of four, got a 9-year-old son, a 7-year-old daughter, a 4-year-old daughter, and a 15-month-old son. Yeah. So it's, we were just actually just on my lunch break right before this podcast, our 4-year-old daughter was asking, I asked them what they want to do tomorrow. And they said, can we go to a park? She asked because, that's what we do on the weekends. We go to our local parks and we go for hikes, our state parks, that sort of thing. I started, hiking with, all of our children, when they were about 6 months old, 5-6 months old. I bought a nice, backpack child carrier and started hiking with all of them, like I said, when they're about 6 months old. And so that was, all of our children had a connection to the outdoors at a very early age, and I think that has helped. We go for family hikes to this day. Even as our oldest two are getting older, they still have an appreciation for nature. They enjoy the family hikes that we do together. So that's one way. Hiking, I think, is my favorite way to share the outdoors with our own children. Also bicycling as well. And so another piece of equipment that we bought at a young age with our first son, oldest son, is a bike trailer that I put on my bike, and I can actually get two kids in there. And so we started riding when they're about a year old or so, and they could sit in there comfortably and hold themselves up. We'd ride our local greenways. So that's something we've been doing as well. And then also done some campouts with them as well in our backyard. Just setting up a tent, I think that's a great place to get started, is in a backyard, because if things don't work out, there's thunderstorms, the kids get scared, you can just walk right into the house. But that's a good place to get started. And then, taking that to your local state parks or wherever you decide to camp. So those are, I think, all great activities to do with young children. Just get in your local parks. Again, as I mentioned, that's really our favorite thing to do as a family is you go to our local park, play in a playground, go for hikes, that sort of thing. You know, obviously today's current climate with coronavirus, COVID-19, has changed that tremendously. Playgrounds are really shut down right now in most states. But trails are still open, greenways are still open. So still being able to get out there, social distancing, and still being able to enjoy nature, I think is important. Even just in your backyard, you know, and exploring what's in there, the bugs and the plants and, you know, and nature, no matter where you are, it's out there. You just have to find it.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I think what I'm hearing you say is, you know, a lot of things that are simple in nature, right? Like biking and hiking and camping in your local parks, but it can be easy to try to overcomplicate that, you know, around programming for these kids and like, what activities am I going to do once I'm out there? But what I'm hearing from you is that really it's just the experience itself is getting out there, and then kids will be able to entertain themselves and go, you know, reach up under a log and see a new bug or, you know, want to climb a tree. And those are the types of learning experiences.
Absolutely. I think that's really important that, you know, today's kids are, you know, not only, you know, connected to their screens, whether it be tablets or video games or whatnot, but also, you know, our children today are very structured, overly structured, really, you know, between extracurricular activities, whether it be sports, you know, school events, you know, music, whatever. It's important to have unstructured outdoor play. And there's lots of research out there on that as well. And the benefits of unstructured outdoor play is critical for today's kids and their learning experiences.
Yeah. So I know right now is so difficult too, because we do want to be outside. And that, again, for all you parks and recreation professionals, that's why what you're doing is so important, is because more than ever, we just need a local park that we can walk to or bike on the greenway to. And so that's so essential. And I know that, you know, NC State recently offered a virtual camping experience, which must have been very different. So why don't you talk us through what that experience was like, because that just recently happened, and what you learned from that, and obviously how that was different from your typical offering.
Yeah, absolutely. So we hosted our first ever virtual camp 2 weeks ago. And, you know, we had to make the decision early on. It was late March that, you know, we kind of had a transition to, you know, working remotely and that sort of thing. And then a decision was made within the next month that, you know, summer programs would shift to virtual delivery for, you know, delivery of programs. And so, it was, you know, a lot of people, I see comments on different Facebook parent groups and that sort of thing is, you know, that's kind of the antithesis of camp and really trying to get kids outside. But, you know, what we really discussed as a camp team is that camp is really an experience. It's about connecting kids to each other and connecting them with nature. And so if we could do that virtually through the use of technology, then we were achieving, really our mission, in 4-H youth development and with our camp. So so we hosted a week long Monday through Friday virtual camp. We had a few different sessions over the course of each day. We had a morning session that was geared towards what we call our Clover Buds, which are our 5 to 8 year olds. And those were, you know, story time, arts and crafts, those types of things. At 1 o'clock, we had a variety of different topics from mindfulness to leadership and those sorts of things. 2 o'clock, we had an eco hour, and that eco hour featured all three of our 4-H camps. We have a beaver pond at one of them. We have a coastal location at our Eastern 4-H Center. So we talked about the coastal ecology out there. And then another one of our camps is down in the Sand Hills region of North Carolina with unique forest region. So we were able to feature virtually. We went out and pre-recorded videos at each of our camps and then edited those videos. And then we did a combination of live talking through Zoom and then showing those pre-recorded videos that had, that were edited. And we had an evening program every evening as well. So Monday night we had a opening campfire, virtual campfire. We actually showed a video recording of a fire at, that we recorded at our camp in the background, and then had, you know, some conversations with our campers and that sort of thing. And then Friday night was the, kind of the culmination of our virtual camp. And so that was really, it was called the Camp Out. And so we had a about a 45-minute live Facebook stream where we had families tune in, and we recorded campfire skits and songs and different things like that. And so it was great. You know, it was neat because we were able to reach a lot of new audiences that we've never reached before. It's something like 84% of our campers that participated in our virtual camp didn't have any type of affiliation with 4-H. And so we were able to, you know, expose all those youth to 4-H and what 4-H is all about. So we were able to, like I said, reach a lot of new audiences. We're still running our numbers right now, but, you know, we served the majority of counties in North Carolina, across the state of North Carolina. And then we had families participate as far away as California, Wisconsin, up in New England. We had families in Florida, so all over the U.S. And that's kind of the neat thing about virtual programming, is that there's really no, you know, limits to the audiences that you can reach when you're doing things virtually. So you can still fulfill your mission just in a unique way.
Wow, that's really awesome. And I'm glad that you guys were able to, you know, I think right now people are kind of struggling and they feel like they have so many constraints, but you just really took advantage of that, developed some really unique programs. And the fact that you're able to reach kids out in California that would have never even known about your program is incredible. And to sum it up, you know, we talked a lot about your theory and your perspective on connecting kids with nature and, you know, the virtual experience that you had. What do you say to our listeners, those parks and recreation professionals who, you know, would like to put some of this into action?
Sure. Yeah, I think first and foremost is mission. You know, you're looking at your mission, your organization, your agency's mission. You know, what is that mission? And yes, we have challenges. Yes, we have barriers with COVID-19. But you know, can you still fulfill your mission? You know, yes, it may be in a unique way, but I think that's really important, is that you remain focused on your mission. You know, what is your mission? For us, it's serving our youth in the state of North Carolina. And so just doing that in a unique way, you know, really thinking outside the box on how you do things, you know, I think is really important, and being able to try new things. And it's a learning experience as well. You know, not everything, technology doesn't always work the way you anticipate it, the way you want it to, but you have to be able to take risks and you have to be able to try things and learn from your mistakes, learn from your failures, and not be afraid of that. So I would say, you know, try it, you know, and if it doesn't work out, then you'll learn from that and you try something different. But, you know, it's, you can't be afraid to try, I think is important.
Awesome. Well, Dave, thanks for the conversation today. If listeners are interested in connecting with you, what's the best way to do that?
Sure. Absolutely. I'm on LinkedIn. Just my name, Dave Herpy, H-E-R-P-Y. Also launched a personal travel blog this year in January. That's Explore NC. The website for that is explorenc.travel.blog. And a lot of these experiences I've shared, my personal experiences with my family and our travels across the state of North Carolina. I've got blog posts on there as well. So, yeah, those are the two main ways through social media.
Awesome. All right, Dave, thanks so much.
Thank you, Becky.
Thanks so much for tuning in this week. Hope you guys have an awesome day. You're able to get outside and you continue to stay safe and well. And we'll see you next week.